Hello, I'm back with just a quick PS to my last post. excuse me. Just listening to a post by Irish Storm. And I agree, whatever works for you, as long as it's within the law. I don't mean you personally, I mean whatever works for anybody is fine. Some of these collars are, I think, illegal over here. The chains aren't, but it's kind of seen, I think, for the most part, I think the chains are now seen as a bit of an old-fashioned way. It's not fashionable, not that dog training is fashionable, but as time goes by, different aids are brought out to make things easier. And there used to be a dog trainer. She was famous for a short while. I don't know when it was. I think it was in the 1980s. Her name was Barbara Woodhouse. She's dead now. And she used to do these programmes on TV about dog training. It was all yank the lead, yank, yank, yank. Suit! She was a very well-spoken woman. And people used to take the mickey out of her, to be honest. And that became quite a fashionable way of training your dog, you know, give it a yank on the chain. Now, the way, I mean, I've used check chains on, hold on, one, two, I can't remember, three of my dogs, and to be honest, they didn't help. The issue I had with my first dog is that she pulled a lot. And she was socially demanding. The second one didn't need any kind of correction at all. She was given to me because they said if she was given to a man, she would die. Well, not literally, but she couldn't be spoken to harshly. So that went for physical correction as well. And the next one, I don't think I really needed it on her either. And I don't think I used a check chain for the inch. She worked for, I had her for 9 years. And we had a lot longer than that. But she was 16 and a half when she passed away. But I don't think I used a check chain for her entire working life. Again, I didn't really need it. One of the main reasons that we used to use it is actually on dogs that pull, because the idea is you have the chain on, and it is very, very important that you learn how to put it on, and that's one of the first things we were actually taught, and I've never forgotten it. You put it so that the chain, when you look at the check chain, it's just one long linked chain. You can get different size links. The ones that guide dogs used to use were the ones with the long links. Now, I don't like those. My problem with those is that they, even on a short coated dog, they make the collar rough. They make that the hairs come through the links in the chain, and they make the collar of the dog, you know, the neck of the dog look horrible. I would never ever leave one on without a lead. I think that's potentially really hazardous. And you aren't meant to do that. If you want to put a collar on your dog when it's not working and you do use one of these chains, the best thing is to buy just an ordinary collar and have that on if you want to hear where the dog is, put a little bell on it or its discs, ID tags or whatever, or in some kind of little medallion so you can hear where it is. I would never advocate leaving the chain on like that at all. Not that I know everything, but I have had dogs. I don't really want to tell you how long I've had dogs. My first one was when I was 18, and let's just say it's a long time. And of course, we've always had pet dogs too. They reckon that the chains with the longer links aren't as harsh as the ones that are really like close linked chains. Now, I did have one of those for my dog, one of my dogs. It came to me my third dog, when she came to me, she had a very close linked chain. I don't know why that was. I think it was just the trainer's preference. But when you put the... So that you kind of... It's difficult to explain it. You take one of the links and you pull it through one of the rings and it makes it into a collar. So when you put that over the dog's head and you attach the leash to the ring that's loose, the way it should be on is that the part that's attached to the leash goes through the ring, which is on the dog's right hand side, should be on the dog's right hand shoulder, and goes round the back of the dog's neck. If you put it on wrong, what will happen is the part that is attached to the leash will go under the dog's chin. So if the dog pulls against it, the links don't release, and that is quite dangerous. Now the idea, as this is at least this is how we were taught to get your dog to heel, was to the idea isn't to have your dog pull in with the chain digging into its neck. The idea is to hold the leash like a few inches above the collar, or where there's a clip to, on the guide dog leads they use in the UK is like a double one that can extend into a long one. And so if you hold it just there, and you hold it kind of, are you kind of hold it forward in a loop, the leash, so it makes the collar loose. And when the dog walks, if it pulls, it's going to actually give itself a bit of a correction. And then you just release the, you know, loosen the leash so that the collar loosens. I found that I didn't find it that effective, really. I mean, yes, it works to a certain degree, but, you know, if a dog's really hell-bent on pulling, it only works if you're leash-walking the dog. It certainly doesn't work in harness because the collar never tightens because the lead has enough give in it when you're holding it on the top of the handle that the chain around the neck is never going to go tight. So actually, the only way you can give the dog a correction is either take the lead into your right hand and snap the chain, or drop the handle and the dog will carry on walking a step and give itself one. I'm not a fan of these things because I think they are open to misuse. Not, as I said, not even deliberate misuse, but I think they're actually quite dangerous. As I say, if you leave them on, they could get. You should never free run a dog with one of these on, but people do. I'm not talking about guide doggers. I mean guide dog owners. I mean general members of the general public. But they can easily catch on bushes and stuff like that. Any collar can, actually. We had an experience once some years ago when we were on holiday in Devon with some friends that one of their dogs disappeared and it wasn't like him at all. And then we could hear like some squeaking noise in the bushes, and one of my sons went to look, the older one, and he actually found a dog caught some brambles in its collar, and it couldn't breathe when it came out. It was like making a whistling sound. You know, I don't know if it wouldn't have been a lot longer, I don't think. And, you know, it might have been the end of it. But luckily he was fine. So, you know, any collar can be a hazard, but the chains are particularly hazardous because if the loop gets caught on something and the dog tries to pull away, they will actually tighten, and the dog might not have the sense to step back and let it slacken again. What guide dogs here have tended to go over to instead is in the last... Oh, it's been quite a long time, actually. Last 20 years. Excuse me. Is the use of head collars. Now, they, again, bring up their own problems and debate because I used one of those on my last dog because she couldn't use the check chain and her pulling was quite bad in harness. I used it for a while and then I stopped using it because I found that sometimes it wound her up more than not having it. But you do get some adverse comments like, why is that guide dog wearing a muzzle? Guide dog shouldn't be wearing a muzzle. A lot of people think it's a muzzle. And there are different types. There are three that I know of. There's the gentle leader, which I tried, and I actually didn't like that one. A lot of people do. I don't like any of them, actually, but I bought one and I ended up giving it to a friend of mine because I felt like you had to adjust the strap and it goes around the dog's nose. You have to put a little clip to make it tight. Not really tight, but tight enough that the dog doesn't want to pull against it, you know, have its nose pinched when it pulls. And in doing so, they can't, the dog can't really open its mouth that wide to pant. Now, that was my objection to the gentle leader. There's a canny collar, which I've never actually seen, and the Halti is the most well-known one that I know, and the one that guide dogs recommended to me. And the dogs don't really like it, to be fair. I mean, they can work with it, most of them. Sometimes they use, guide dogs use it to stop them scavenging, because it makes it easier to feel if you... You know, it makes it easier for the guide dog owner sometimes to actually feel when their head is going down. With the Halti, they can open their mouth. If they're pulling, of course, it's going to pull the straps tighter. But if they're not pulling, then they can open their mouth to pant in the hot weather. They can get out of it quite easily. Mine did, but I didn't realise... because no one at Guide Dogs ever showed me this. It was a friend of mine, the same friend that I gave the gentle leader to, actually. It comes with a little strap that's not attached to it in the packet. And you attach that to the the ring that's on the strap that goes around the nose, the muzzle area. And you attach it to an ordinary collar so that if the dog gets his nose out of the Halti, it's not... It's still attached to the collar by this little strap. It's just a little, it's about, I don't know, 6 inches long or something, maybe not that long. And it just attaches from the collar. You can put it on the half check, the ring of that, and then attach it to the nose. That's the way guide dogs have gone in this country, rather than check chains. Now, I think some big dogs, maybe some big, strong, very strong German Shepherds are still given check chains, or the owners are. Because we've talked about this on some of the channels. And again, the Halti, people can think it's a bit... Well, I don't think they think it's so much cruel as just, why is a guide dog wearing a muzzle? They're a bit puzzled. Some people just don't understand what it is. So you do get a bit of adverse publicity, but I think the chains actually look worse if you're giving the dog a chain correction. And again, I think it's the thing, as I said before, people, it's perception of what chains involve. It's like slavery, prisoners. Some people think guide dogs or any working dog is cruel. And so... You know, they don't need much to complain about, to be honest. It's very difficult to get the right balance when someone approaches you and is, well, they might think they're being constructively criticising you, but it can be very destructive to a person's confidence. When I was 18, I think I found it so, when that lady... criticised me for correcting my dog when she went to pick something up off the ground, which was turned out to be an apple core. Luckily, apart from that one who picked a few things up now and again, I've never had a dog that scavenged. I've never allowed it from day one. I keep to the rules indoors. I don't feed the dogs. I'll give them treats occasionally, but I'm not always giving them food. I'll make sure they're never watching us when we're eating. It's not always easy when you've got young children, but mine are grown up now, so that's easier. So you just don't have them around when kids are eating, because they don't want their dinner. Then there's someone waiting like a crocodile underneath the table, if you're not careful, who quite clearly wouldn't say no. So, but people, it's very hard to know, to strike a correct balance, because it all depends on the person who is the guide dog handler, owner, whatever you like to call it, because some people can confidently say, you know, are self-assured. I am now. I wasn't always. It does take time, but I try not to be rude. The temptation is there. Yes, I said that American had a loud mouth. Well, she did. And I was so angry, but I was young then. I was like, what? 22, something like that, 21 even, and I was probably a lot more hot-headed than I am now. once I got over the initial shock that people would actually criticise me, I wouldn't have said that if she'd said I was cruel to the dog, I don't think. It's just because she insinuated that I shouldn't have been sitting where I was on a bus with my guide dog. Maybe she didn't know it was a guide dog, but because she wasn't in harness, I had obviously taken the harness off when we were travelling, and she had it on my lap or over my shoulder or, I don't know, it was there anyway. If she'd looked hard enough, she would have seen it. But I appreciate that some people, it's not weakness, it's just that some people aren't assertive enough to, you know, especially when it's a new partnership. Sarah hasn't had her dog for very long. It's less than 6 months, and that's quite early in the terms of a guide dog partnership. And, you know, you have good times and bad times, even throughout the whole partnership, really. So you are a bit sensitive, more sensitive at first, especially when you've had another dog and you've been confident getting around with the other dog. And it is a really life-changing experience to go onto another dog. And especially if you live in an area where people have seen you with the other dog, and they'll say, oh, and they might comment to one another, oh, look at that dog, it's not as good as her last one. Or they'll say to you, oh, is it still learning? Oh, it's not as good as the last one, is it? And you know, it can really take a lot of courage to get over that. You know, I mean, sure, everyone knows, well, I don't know if people in the States know, because I don't know if all your schools have aftercare or if any of them do. Here we do. They visit you once a year just to make sure everything is okay. Some people, we've had debates about this on some of the channels as well. Some people think it's mollycoddling and that they would know if there's anything wrong with their dogs. I personally think it's a good thing, because when you can't see, you might not be aware of something that the dog's doing that might display that they've not capable of working properly anymore, or there's something that's bothering them that you're not aware of. And people say, oh yes, I know my dog. Well, of course we do. We know our dogs better than anybody else. But, you know, there's always that chance we might miss something. So I've got no problem with it. It's a good service. We don't have to pay for it. We have got a very good service here in the UK, despite some discrepancies at times with things. You know, everyone's has their little problems here and there. But on the whole, it is a good service. You know, we get help with our veterinary care if we need it, help with the feeding. We get these aftercare visits, and it's not, they don't just, unless the dog does something really awful or is really unhappy working, they don't just say, oh, I'm retiring your dog. Now, some people are probably might come back to me and say, well, actually, they did that with me. But on the whole, they might, I think now, they might have done it one time, but now it's a joint decision. You know when your dog's slowing down. You know yourself, usually, that, you know, it's had enough. I don't like my dogs to work past about 10 and a half. I did have one that worked past 11, but that was just circumstances, you know, because I had a young baby and I couldn't go away to do training when he was, I went when he was a year old. That was bad enough. So, you know, we do have a very good service here, and we are lucky to have the aftercare and all that. And so, you know, when you first come home with the dog, it is a very life-changing experience, as I said, and it takes time. If you've only had one dog, or it's your first dog, or you decided not to get another one, I suppose you might not understand the concept of going from one dog to another. It's like starting all over again. Okay, you might know the basics, but each dog is so different, and, you know, what's right with one isn't right with another. And I think Sarah has had two completely different dogs, because her first was a golden retriever, and it sounds like he was pretty laid back, and now she's got a Labrador who's very lively. And, you know, and let's face it, none of us like to be criticised. But hopefully in time, she will get to be able to say, look, I really appreciate, you know, that there isn't really any need to be rude. I mean, OK, I'm not saying I've never been a bit short with people, because sometimes I have, and that's more when people distract the dog, or they continue to pet the dog when I've asked them not to, or they don't bother to ask me to feed, and they try and give the dog something to eat, and then I might get quite cross with people. I have done, but I try and keep my polite face on. It isn't always easy, but the thing is, I think the key thing is if you can, not to let people intimidate you, because they've got no right to do that. Whatever they think, it's their opinion, but, you know, you don't have to abide by it, and it's none of their... Actually, at the end of the day, unless someone's kicking a dog or slapping it or pushing it into the road or doing something like that, it isn't actually any of their damn business, to be honest. Anyway, I hope some other people will join in, because it's nice to hear everyone's different opinions. We don't all agree, but that doesn't mean to say that we don't respect other people's opinions. And also, things are different in different parts of the world, aren't they? You know, what happens here isn't what happens somewhere else. And that's quite good. It's quite refreshing to hear how other things are done, because, that you know, we can learn sometimes from the way other people do things. And when I was talking about harnesses, they're not guide dog harnesses. They're just like dog... Yes, were.
Should I take my antibiotics now?
Yeah. They're just dog walking harnesses.
For some paracetamol, maybe.
Oh, how many paracetamols have you taken today?
I think I've only taken
some. Oh, yeah, you can take some more now. How many Nurofens have you taken?
Two.
You must be getting better now, because you wouldn't miss any doses before, would you? Is it hurting?
No.
But not like it was? That's good. It's getting better. Anyway, I think I've gone on long enough again, so I will speak to you all soon. Bye for now.